Welcome to Murder with the Misses. I'm Darren.
And I'm Amy. And today we're going to tell you about Stephen Smith. Now, we briefly mentioned this case in the Murdaugh episode because there's a link between the two somewhere. So make sure you listen to that episode as well. But here, we're going to talk about 19-year-old Stephen, whose body was discovered on a rural road in South Carolina's Low Country at 3:59 a.m. on July 8, 2015. His car was found 3 miles up the road with the doors locked, his wallet inside, and his gas cap off. That morning, Sandy had been driving to work when she heard on the radio that a body was found. She called Stephen's twin sister, Stephanie, and it was Stephanie who asked if Stephen had come to Sandy's house last night. You see, Stephen stayed in between his parents' houses, and he hadn't come to his dad's house where Stephanie was, so they assumed that he had stayed at Sandy's. This was when Sandy knew that the body that they found was likely Stephen.
Yeah, he was pretty close with his family, so he would have told one of them that he was staying somewhere they, you know, when he didn't come home to either of the houses, it raised red flags. And that has to be a nightmare, you know, and I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, that's a nightmare material for sure.
Yeah.
Stephen's father, Joel, went to the sheriff's office for information or confirmation, anything to see if this was in fact Stephen. And he was on the phone with Sandy the whole time. While he was waiting for the sheriff to come out, he told Sandy he was getting another call. This call was from Randy Murdaugh.
Oh, there's a name we know way too well.
Yes. So Randy is Alex Murdaugh's brother, and he's also an attorney, I'm shocked, who had been representing Joel in an unrelated workman's comp case. So it wasn't out of the realm of possibilities for him to be calling. And Sandy insisted staying on the line while Joel switched over to speak to him. When Joel came back on the line, he said that Randy was asking if that was Stephen that they'd found in the road.
Huh. I guess news travels fast in a small town.
A little too fast sometimes.
Yeah.
Since Stephen's parents hadn't even had confirmation yet. But Randy so kindly offered to speak to the police on the Smith's behalf to try to help get some answers, pro bono, for free. While Joel thought this was a nice gesture, Sandy was a bit more skeptical. Besides the connection of Randy being Joel's attorney, Alex had actually coached Stephen's Little League baseball team back in the day, and Stephen and Stephanie were classmates of Buster Murdaugh, Alex's oldest son. But still, the quickness of this call and his offer to help for free really stood out to her. And her suspicions grew when a couple of hours later she drove past the crime scene and reports that she saw Randy Murdaugh standing on the side of the road, and on the other side of the road was none other than Alex Murdaugh.
See, it don't make any sense why either one of them would be there, much less both of them. And why is the crime scene closed already? Why is it open?
Well, it's not open. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Well,
that road should have been
closed.
Hold on. That road should have been closed off for a while.
Yeah, because she said she drove by it, and this is a two-lane.
Small road. You'll see the pictures and everything. This was right in the middle of the road. That road right there should have been cut off.
Yeah, there was like a cornfield on one side and woods on the other. It's not like they could have drove around it.
Yeah, so it makes no sense as to why anybody was driving through there contaminating the crime scene.
That's true. But, and then on top of that, why was Alex there?
Exactly. Why was he even there?
He had his hand and nose in everything around there.
Yep. So that raises suspicions right there is why. Why was Alex even there?
Oh, yeah. Her spidey senses were definitely tingling. And then on top of all that, like right after she drove past, her phone rang and it was Randy asking if that was her that he just saw pass by. So that just solidified that she wasn't seeing things. He was actually there. And I will say that Randy has stated through his attorney, of course, that Joel had told him about Stephen's death, not the other way around. And that was the first time he had heard of it. And that the Smiths had actually asked him if he would contact law enforcement on their behalf. He also stated that after meeting with Joel and Stephanie, he did go to the scene, but it was the day after the body was found, and he was with a private investigator, not Alex. that the claims that he was at the scene with Alex on the same day were false.
Couldn't that have been proven, you know, if they pulled Sandy's phone records and seen that Randy called her that morning?
True.
Or checked the phone location of Randy and Alex the day they, you know, that day to see if they was even where, at, you know, where they was at on the scene.
That's true. Yeah, they definitely could. Well, I would think that they could.
I mean, you'd think with technology today, they could do all that.
Oh, they'll pull everything from your phone. Mean,
yeah, they'll slam you for charges on all kinds of stuff on your phone.
Oh, yeah. Because we talked about that in another case. Deleted doesn't mean deleted.
Exactly.
And your locations don't go away.
Nope.
And people don't know to, like, turn their phones off or leave their... I can't give people tips on how to commit crimes.
Right?
I'm just letting everybody know.
Yeah.
But, and I'm sure Alex's records were pulled in his case a couple years later, but I couldn't find anything showing that they pulled them from right now, from Steven's time.
Mm.
Huh. That's
kind of weird.
That, well.
It's real weird. I don't know why they didn't look into it. Well, the Murdaughs had a lot of money, and they had a lot of influence on the law enforcement too.
A lot.
So,
I mean, even at that, even if they were there, it doesn't prove that foul play was involved. It just raises suspicions as to why they are so active in this crime scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, we know they had all kinds of pull with law enforcement and stuff like that. But this was originally investigated by the Highway Patrol since it happened on a road, which they never understood that either. Because they don't really investigate murders like that, or hit. I mean, I guess they said it was a hit and run. So either way,
technically, yeah.
Yeah, but at this point, it's he said, she said. Whether or not all this happened that day, like Sandy says, it happened, and sadly, Joel passed away just 3 months after Stephen did. So he's not there to say yes or no either. Reports are that Joel's cause of death was actually attributed to a brief illness. But Sandy believes it was a broken heart, which I can see that. So sad. But Sandy and Stephanie both maintain to this day that none of them ever asked the Murdaughs for help, that it was the way she said it happened. Now, originally, the coroner reported this as a homicide. They said that Stephen had been shot, which is likely because the only visible wound he had was on his head. Reports show that the coroner was even pointing out an entry point for the bullet wound at the scene. The police at the scene looked at the surrounding area and reported no debris like car parts or broken glass. There were no skid marks or anything to show that there was a vehicle related, which is why they were like, why are we even investigating this? It's not a homicide. It's not a car related incident. So it shouldn't be us, but.
Mm-hmm.
But the cause of death did quickly change from a homicide to it just being an accidental hit and run by the medical examiner after further investigation. They found no bullet, no fragments, and it didn't look like a bullet wound on further inspection. But there was blunt force trauma to his head. Since the body was found literally in the middle of the road, the coroner could only theorize that it was a vehicle that caused the death. Now, like I've said, Sandy nor the Highway Patrol believed that. The hypo even went back out to the scene to look for more evidence, like maybe we missed something, but they never found anything else that would support the hit and run theory.
Someone killed him, period.
Right.
I mean, whether intentional or not, accident or on purpose, something they did killed Stephen, and then they left him there. And he, you know, the whole thing is like, if he did get hit,
right,
you know, they left him there.
Yes.
I mean, they could have probably loaded him up, took him to the nearest hospital, maybe saved his life.
Stopped, called 911.
Something.
I mean
anything. Stopped exactly. The bleeding. I mean, they could have done anything just to try to do it. But what it was, if it was a hit and run, they got scared.
Right.
Ran off.
This was middle of the night, so yeah. Likely... It's highly likely that maybe alcohol was involved. Most people, when they're drunk, they don't want to stop if they hit something. Or somebody who thought that maybe they might have hit an animal or something like that. But, I mean, he was in the middle of the road. I don't know. Yeah. None of this makes sense to me. But it gets even weirder since it was later reported that a rape kit was ordered.
For a hit and run?
For a hit and run. The Highway Patrol didn't even know about it until Sled took the case over. And then the kit was ordered at that time. So they never knew it was ordered until later, and they never saw the results of it or anything like that.
Hmm.
Yeah. Really weird. It was actually ordered within 13 hours of his body being found.
Well, and not to get off topic, but didn't the mom say that there was word that there were some drunk kids?
There, we'll get to that, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay.
It's in here. So, like I said, Highway Patrol was pulled off the case. They had no idea what was going on or why this would even be ordered. So nobody has ever like reported on it or said what came of this. And his other injuries were a partially dislocated right shoulder and slight road rash on his forearms. But that's literally it. His cell phone and keys were in his pocket. His cell phone was in good condition. There was no trauma to the phone. And he had on loosely tied shoes that were still on his feet, which is odd because usually when you're hit at a high speed like that, it literally knocks your shoes off from the impact.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen this firsthand.
Yeah, and his shoes were loosely tied and everything. I mean,
Very loosely.
So if it was a hit and run, I mean, he would have been knocked out of his shoes, everything. I mean,
if it was enough to kill him and, I mean, dislocate his shoulder, that's an impact. It's not a tap.
I would think anything over 10 miles an hour would knock you out of your damn shoes.
I would think so, but I mean, I'm not an expert.
I'm not an expert on it, but I would think so.
I mean,
that's a lot of force.
I have a cousin that was actually hit by a car when he was on his bicycle when he was younger. And I believe the guy was going 45 miles an hour, I think is what it was. 35 or 45 miles an hour when he hit him, and I mean, the damage that was done was way worse than this.
Yeah.
So it's not adding up either way. And rumors are already circulating around town. And the Murdaugh name actually came up over 40 times in his investigation.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes. So one story was at least one Murdaugh child, which they believe was Buster, was in the vehicle with a couple of other males. And someone in the vehicle leaned out of it, hitting Stephen with a baseball bat and killing him. And Sandy had said that just a young man, she never specified who, told Stephen's older brother, Chris, that he was there when Stephen was murdered. He said that he and Buster Murdaugh were out smashing mailboxes when they came upon Stephen, and Buster seized the opportunity to beat Stephen to death with a baseball bat for being gay. Also, a week before his death, Stephen was getting a lot of messages from someone. He told his mom that he was going to go deep sea fishing in Key West with someone, but couldn't tell her who because it was a, and I quote, prominent person. One of the other rumors going around was that Stephen and Buster were actually romantically involved, and that this fishing trip was with the Murdaugh family, but there has been no evidence of that brought to light so far.
So to play it, you know, devil's advocate here, you know, we live in a town way smaller than this one. And, you know, we hear wild rumors all the time. And they're just that. They're rumors. So you can't put too much into them most of the time.
That, absolutely. But you can investigate if they're coming up as much as this was.
Obviously, if a name's coming up 40 times,
yeah,
you got to look into
it. Maybe ask some questions.
Yeah, ask the questions. Let's do it.
Let's do it, yeah. What do you got to lose, honestly?
I mean, honestly, man, I mean, if it'll give the family some relief.
Oh, yes.
You know, not closure, relief.
There's never going to be closure,
no.
I don't think.
No, not when it's a child.
No.
You know.
No. But there was so little to go on at this point, but investigators did reach out to Buster, and he would not return their calls. Now, Uncle Randy, remember him? He did direct someone else to call in with a tip. So a man named Daryl called the police and said that two teens were actually involved, Sean and Patrick. He said that Patrick came to his house and said Sean was drunk and hit something with his side mirror while driving, the one that hangs off the side of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
When he went back the next day to where he remembered it happening to see what it was, there were cops everywhere. Now that story matched the autopsy results. However, there are no records of the cops speaking to Sean or Patrick about this story. So there's another strike. Sandy, though, she asked Sean straight up if he killed Stephen, and he said no. He actually said, and I quote, "I give you my word, I promise you, I never killed your son." And she believed him.
Mother's intuition.
Maybe. She was asked, "What if it comes out that he lied to you?" And she said it wouldn't be the first time she was lied to. I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
By September, Sandy was fed up with a lack of investigation. Shocker. So she started writing letters to everybody she could, including the FBI. And they actually sent two agents to her house. They ended up taking Stephen's cell phone and tablet, telling Sandy that there was a lot of information on there that needed to be looked at. The cell phone was unlocked and looked into, but reports are that they couldn't unlock the tablet. It is believed that Stephen used the tablet a lot when communicating with people. So the case goes cold at this point. And as we all know, a few years later, Paul and Maggie Murdaugh were murdered on their property. Now, while SLED, which is the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, was investigating these murders, they came across a new lead in Stephen's death and took this case over as well. Alex was stealing money from his clients, as we all know. So the legal duo that was helping his victims in the financial crimes portion of Alex's case is now representing Sandy pro bono, so for free. They turned up the heat on old SLED, and in March of 2023, SLED acknowledged that it was now treating Stephen's death as a homicide.
Good, finally. A hit and run where somebody dies is a homicide. By definition, the person who caused them to die, then left them there, needs to be found. You know, is an accident is just that. You know, it's an accident.
Right.
But whenever you leave and not saying anything for almost 9 years, that's a crime.
That is shady.
Yeah. I mean, it's a crime. It's a hit and run. No matter how you unfold it.
Yeah.
That's a crime.
Something happened.
Yes. I mean, even if it was accidental,
right.
You left. And you have not said nothing for nine
years. Not a
word.
Yeah.
So, sorry about you.
Yeah. And Sandy has been on a poor campaign this whole time, just trying to get an answer. So, I mean, you say a homicide is, or when someone dies in a hit and run, it is a homicide. And that's true, because I looked it up, and the definition of a homicide is the killing of one human being by another. It is a general term and may refer to a non-criminal act as well as a criminal act such as murder. So even if it was an accident, it's a homicide, and it should have stayed that way.
Yeah.
From the start. But a GoFundMe provided the family with funds to exhume Stephen's body and have another autopsy done in April of 2023. It states that Stephen died from a single blow to his forehead, severely fracturing his skull, and it left a 7.5-inch gash. It was determined that this could not have been caused by a baseball bat, as a baseball bat leaves what's called a pattern injury, and Stephen has linear fractures. So they're saying that any rumor involving a baseball bat are not possible. He also had one fracture on the back of his head that they say was caused by his head hitting the pavement on the road after he was struck. They say that he was not hit by a vehicle head on. So what they conclude is that he was struck by something sticking out from a vehicle traveling at a high speed that caused the fatal blow. Something about 65 inches off the ground and at least a foot to 18 inches laterally, like sticking out from the vehicle. Like a ladder sticking out from a work truck or a large, possibly extended side mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And that matches up with the story that Randy had Daryl call in and tell the investigators.
Yeah.
Now, Sandy stated, "I don't think it's impossible to maneuver a vehicle or something in such a way to do this intentionally. I just don't think that it would be possible." How his body was laying in the road where it was, it looks like he was walking in the middle of the road, not on the side. There was a slight curve, But I would think that he would have seen the headlights coming because I believe he was walking towards oncoming traffic. But if they were going at a high rate of speed, he may not have had time to move out of the way to avoid it. Or if something was sticking out, maybe he would have thought he was clear of the vehicle itself and safe, but instead was hit by whatever was sticking out from it.
Well, I mean, you know, and they're saying that, you know, they're saying that it's that it happened late at night and everything. So,
right.
I mean, it'd be too dark. So even if the car, truck, whatever was coming at him, the lights.
Yes.
And if it was a side mirror.
He wouldn't have seen it.
It'd been like split second.
Yeah, the lights would have, not, it would have caused him to not be
basically
able to see.
Basically like kind of blinding.
Yeah.
And then once they went past, then it'd been like, bam, just.
Very true. Just,
very true. Almost instant.
Yeah, I agree with that. So Buster Murdaugh still denies that he was involved in any way. His alibi is that he was at the family beach house with his mom and his brother that night. Now, these are the two people that Alex Murdaugh killed, so they're unable to verify Buster's alibi. Either way, there's obviously something found by the police linking Stephen and the Murdaughs in some way. Plus, Stephen's sister Stephanie did say that the day before Stephen's death, he called her because he was having car trouble and needed her help. She said she was tightening his battery cable, but he would not get out of the car. She told him to come and help, and he refused. He seemed scared, but he never said why. So this also raises questions as to whether someone was tampering with his car. He has this loose cable issue in the middle, or has this loose cable issue, but then in the middle of the night runs out of gas on his way home. Now, I didn't see any information about whether they checked his gas tank for tampering, like if someone poked a hole in it or something to make the gas drain out fast, increasing his chances of being stranded, and then someone followed and maybe waited for the right moment or something. I'm not sure.
You know, and plus his wallet was still in the car.
It was, yes, and, locked.
You know, he was walking towards home, which was the opposite direction of the gas station.
Yes.
So he obviously wasn't planning on getting gas to drive his car home.
Right.
It's a smaller community, so maybe the gas station was already closed.
Yeah.
You know, in 2015 in our town, the only gas station we have closes, you know, like, well, sometimes it closes at 7. Sometimes
it's 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah. It just really just depends on how busy they are that day. You know, yeah. If they ain't that busy, they go home.
I don't think that theirs was that small.
They're supposed to be open till 10, but, you know.
But either way, 10 o'clock, he wouldn't have.
Exactly. You know, so, and, you know, back, you know, they didn't have the option to you know, pay at the pump.
Right, and we didn't get that till like a year ago.
Yeah, we didn't get that till like a year ago, so now it doesn't matter.
Right.
But, so, you know, we would have been able to get gas after 10 anyway, so I mean.
It could have been something like that,
It could have been a similar thing, you know.
Very true. So,
and if he was close enough to home, I mean, you know, what's a few miles to walk?
Why not just walk home? That's true. That's a good point. But now that the Murdaugh trials are done, they're looking more into Stephen's case with their new evidence. So now they're going to like really amp up. We're hoping that they're going to amp up now. We'll have to see where it goes and even see what links the Murdaugh case to this. Because I don't know. It seems like with all their pull in this area, they were involved in just so much stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they unlocked the tablet.
Finally.
You know, they just unlocked the tablet, so I'm sure they, you know, they have some new information and, you know, that they're looking into and everything. So, I mean, hopefully it's got some juicy information in there. Maybe it sheds some light on everything.
I agree. I am very interested to see how this connects and what the evidence is. But I know Sandy is extremely happy since she's been pushing this since day one. She wants answers, and hopefully she'll get some pretty soon.
Oh, yeah, no, she's been a freaking trooper, man. I mean, for a mom to lose a kid and to still push forward every day, just fighting for that kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's the highest honor you could ever.
Oh, don't. I mean, people would get sick of me.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, she's just a badass. I mean, that's the easiest way to put it. She's a badass.
That's the thing with these cases that we've covered lately. It's like they all have really strong.
Oh yeah, Laura Bible. I mean, you know,
yeah, her mom led that investigation.
Laura Bible. Yeah, I mean, her mom, Ashley Freeman. You know, Laura Bible's been, her mom's been doing it for both the girls.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, she's been pushing all these years for that for them,
mm-hmm.
and I'd she's still going. It. I mean, yes. And then you got Stephen Smith's mom, Susan.
Sandy.
I'm sorry. You know, now, you know, she's doing the same thing. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You can't find, it's hard to find people that, I don't know.
That push back.
That push back.
Because that's what they're doing. That everybody was like, oh, closed case. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, so many people just kind of cower whenever they're like, this is what it is.
They're like, okay,
let's call it what it is and go.
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't be good enough for me.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I'd
go to jail because, I mean, that just would not be a good enough answer for me.
And no matter how this turns out, even if it turns out that it was an accident, there's still somebody that has to answer.
She's got to have some kind of answers.
Somebody has to be, somebody was in their vehicle and that vehicle struck Steven.
Somebody did it.
Yeah, he didn't just end up there on his own.
No, he didn't hit himself in the head.
He was 3 miles away from his own car.
Exactly. Somebody did it and somebody is a coward. And ran off.
Yep.
And won't fess up to what they did.
Yes, they're worried about themselves.
Yes.
That's sad, too. Oof.
Yep.
Why did we pick true crime? Why didn't we pick to do podcasts on puppies and rainbows?
I know, right?
Because answers need to be had.
Answers need to be had.
That's right.
So, well, we hope you guys enjoyed the video. Please tune in to the next one. Please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
Love us.
Hit the little bell button on there. That way you guys get the notifications when we post up some new ones. Yep. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Bye.
Bye.